All right. Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff.
And we are coming to you live from Jeff's office.
Yes, we are.
You know, after a long break of sabbatical, if you will.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we took the summer off, basically planned.
Planned, not planned. We were going to take a break because we had so many things going on, but then it just kind of kept going more things kept happening. So it was harder to get together.
We've had a busy summer.
We have.
But I just want to let everyone know that we're not going anywhere. Just those things. We kind of, like when you watch a good show, eventually the season ends and you have to wait for the next season to start. So
just be patient, guys. Please.
Yeah, we can't create the desire. We're just constantly putting it out there, right?
No, we do apologize for taking so long, and we're glad to be back. So we have a lot of things we want to talk about tonight. And so,
let's start with Justin's out tonight.
Justin's out tonight.
We had to do kind of this whole decision of how much longer do we go without putting something out, and it worked for us. And Justin's like, y'all please go.
And it was kind of like, you know, one of those things, like if your plane goes down in freezing tundra, and who do you eat first? Well, it would be Justin.
He's got more meat on his bones.
He does.
Well, I mean that more muscle. I mean, you eat muscle. You don't eat. You know what I mean? Wow,
that derailed quick. Anyway, we decided to sacrifice Justin tonight and just move on with it. But now he'll be back with us soon.
And the one thing I'll say is, you notice we didn't have no intro music tonight.
Yeah,
I mean that was Justin's job, was to push the buttons.
Yeah.
Do the intro and the stuff, you know, the engineering stuff. However, we're going into this new season. I think we're going to change it up a little bit. So I will say, if this is your first time listening to us,
yeah,
then you've missed about 50-ish episodes you can go back and listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. They have cool intros and outros.
Except that very first one we ever did.
Golly, just messed that one up.
It was like a concert in the beginning. Yeah. It was like goes on and on. So you could fast forward to about the 2-minute mark.
That's right. So,
Jeff, what have you been up to this summer?
Well, I just got back from a really big trip. I did a 2-week, one to check out a different mission organization, and then one to check in on a national partner.
Existing.
Yeah, partner. That we've been supporting for a few years now.
Where'd you go?
So I went to Nepal. Fun fact, I thought it was part of India. I thought I was going to India. This particular mission organization has a huge presence in India, but the information they gave me was all inclusive of all the different places we were going. So I had in my head the whole time we were going to India. And then so I thought Nepal was, because I'm not super familiar with the area, was part of India, which it was at one point. And so that was part of the confusion. But anyway, went to Nepal. We traveled about 4 hours to a different area. And I can tell you this. I have truly never been more scared on a road. Literally,
really? I mean,
literally every 100 feet was a landslide, and it was just terrifying.
So I know that you never really encountered those types of conditions in Colombia,
right?
Did you ever go to?
I feared getting in a wreck.
Did you ever go to Ecuador?
Yeah.
And when you land in Quito and then you make the trek over the mountain
.
I mean, I wasn't with you at Nepal.
But the side that you're riding on isn't eroding. Like that's the part.
While you're.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was fresh landslides everywhere. And so a little terrified in that. But this one was really, I was nervous because I went by myself on this one. This was a longer trip, and I had some things that I needed to accomplish on it. So I ended up going by myself on this one. And so, never been to these places. And so a little uncertainty there, little fear going into places I didn't know, and then all by myself. So getting there and getting to go. But the blessing was, you know, there were other teams from other churches, and I kind of went and got to go with the leader of this mission organization, and we got to change groups each day. So I got to know these people from different churches. I got to hear their stories. I got to do ministry with them. So that aspect was really, really cool to do. And so, man, this one was really wild. And I was telling the kids, you know, when you go in, I've never gone into this particular setting where you're sharing the gospel with somebody, with a group of people, Hindus in particular, who have over 330 million gods.
What?
Yeah.
330 million.
I want to know who counted them.
Right.
Yeah, I have never.
Do they all have a name?
I'm sure. So, but just how wild that was. And then, you know, as we went, like we would go out to these villages. It was all set up by local believers and that kind of thing, Bible study groups. And so we did what was called compassion kit parties. And so they had these boxes full of, you know, just essentials and needs, from toothpaste, toothbrushes, to thermometers, to some medicine, some different things, just to help them. And they were all super excited about getting that, to have that in their home. And so, but that was what was handed out at the end. So we had three people that would share. So we would start off by doing some basic hygiene stuff, teach them how to wash their hands thoroughly, when to do it. And then we would dive into, hey, listen, this tells you how to clean your hands. We want to share some stories about how God can clean your heart. And so we would turn it in and share the story of either Zacchaeus or the woman that touched Jesus's hem of his garment and was healed, and then into the gospel, a personal testimony kind of thing. And so as I observed the first couple of days, because I wasn't technically part of the group that was training, I just kind of heard these stories. And then as the more stories and testimonies I heard from actual Hindus was that there was a message going around kind of like this, like a prosperity gospel type thing, but for just the benefits of God, right? The power of God. Do you want his power and this kind of thing? Do you want to be healed? And so the issue in all of it was some of the stories we were sharing were kind of teaching the same thing, right? Like the woman who touched Jesus's hem of his garment and she was healed. And do you want this type of power in your life? And so as I kind of listened and observed, I was like, we need to have a conversation about these 330 million other gods, because what's 330 million and one more, right? And so in it, I have this little paper airplane story that I like to use. And so I took it and I changed the story of it to communicate leaving everything behind so that Jesus is the only one. And so I did it. And the very first time I got to share that, one of the girls that was part of the team, she was just like, Jeff, that was unbelievable, because that was the message that the pastor used when I prayed to receive Christ, was taking the broken pieces of our lives and making something beautiful out of it. And I knew just from my experience on the field and knowing that these people were illiterate, uneducated, you're not going to give them any reading material. They're going to take that home and digest it, right? So just looking and really wanting to do something that's visual, that will capture their attention, that will get some interaction, ask them some questions. And so doing that was really cool. And then it led to our very last day. I got comfortable sharing it. Well, we went to this new area, Tommy, and it was... it wasn't at a church. There was no real, like, even the little local pastor believer there wasn't very relational with us. So it was just a weird disconnect. And so we sat in this like little common area, like under an awning kind of deal in the community. And so we started, and this local government leader sat down next to me, and he was clearly, you know, different than anyone else in that area. He was well-dressed, well-educated, could speak some English. His son was actually living in California. And so anyway, we did our thing and shared the stories, hand washing, all the stuff. And then I got to the airplane story and did that. And talked about chasing after false gods that aren't real. And laid that out, and then the guy got up to then bring the invitation to. And what I didn't know in the very beginning of this is that it's against the law to convert. You can share the gospel, but you can't ask people to then follow in that belief system.
So I just want to say real quick too, if I may, what people may, or I mean, some people may not know where you were in Nepal, Southern India, Northern India, is where Buddhism originated.
Correct.
In Nepal. So, so the whole, from, you know, BC time, mm-hmm. right? When 600 BC or so in Buddhism was founded, created, that's all these people really know. And so I want to kind of give that context of like, this is where Buddhism started,
right?
And the whole worshiping of gods and all that. And so, all right, so continue now.
So most of the people that we encountered come from the Hindu belief system, not Buddhism, but we did see a giant Buddha and Kathmandu and all of that kind of stuff. So anyway, our guy then, as soon as I was done, our guy got up and started sharing the gospel, like, you know, given this invitation to respond, and this leader stood up, cut him off, and like went in. I couldn't understand anything he was saying, and the guy was so taken back that he didn't translate what was going on, but he was referencing us, you know, just looking at us and making a hand gesture like Americans and Jesus Christ, and he was upset. He was mad. And so the lady that was a part of this team, like, she was nervous before she even came on the trip. And I mean, she was just like peeling at her thumb, and she was so scared and so nervous. So I just put my hand on her back, and I said, it sounds worse than what it is. Everything's going to be okay. It's fine. And so, 'cause I've been in these situations before, in these settings. So anyway, after it was all settled and done, we had a conversation with the guy. We let him hand out the compassion kits. And then we went 5 minutes down the road to do it all again. And we were like, hey, listen, we're going to do this, but you're not going to interrupt us this time. You know what we're going to say, what we're going to do. This is for the community. So if we're going to do it, you got to let us do it. And he was like, okay, cool. And it was totally fine. Wow. Was nice afterwards. The guys really handled it well. I think if that would have happened here, I think our people, you know, would have been so offended by that, that they would have just, you know, done, see you later, moved on. And so in that, it was just really cool to kind of see them say, just because he's against it doesn't mean he doesn't need the gospel. So we're going to go love mm-hmm. on him and make sure we respect him and the community. Let him be the one that hands out the compassion kits. That's fine. We don't care about any of that.
Right.
But let us do our program. Let us share what we're going to share. And then you can give out your stuff. And
how
was
it received from people? Like,
so that particular one that he interrupted was a huge response. And like, people like shot their hands up with excitement. You know, I'd been to a couple already where it was kind of like this, I think I understand. I don't really, you know, because a lot of them heard the gospel for the very first time, right? So you think about, you have 330 million gods you can choose from, and now you're saying there's only one, and you got to choose him. Do you want to choose him? And so just making sure that they understood all of that and everything. But, you know, even if you can't speak a language, when somebody gets it, it's visible on their face and in their eyes. And so there were several that we saw along the way that just really got it. And these people were eager. Like, they came down, and as soon as they raised their hand, that guy cut it off. And so we didn't get to have any more follow-up with them at that time. So that, I mean, it was amazing the number of distractions that happened at each stop, each time, whether it was that extreme or it's just like, hey, right when we were doing a, you know, the prayer to talk about the important thing, like, chickens would come in and start clucking like crazy or something, you know, just something crazy every single time. And so it was really interesting to be aware of the spiritual warfare that was happening at the time and all that was going on. So that was the first week and what I got to do there. And I tell you, probably the thing that the Lord convicted me the most about is, man, we met this young man probably 25. He had a severe deformity of his feet. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, his toes were just curled underneath and to the side, and he couldn't hardly walk. And I remember just seeing the condition of him. He had five children. Wow. His wife left him. And it just felt so hopeless and sad. You know, what does this guy do for a living to provide for these kids now that his wife's gone and all these different things? And just kind of looking at that situation. And I mean, I just remember grabbing his leg and praying, just being really more broken over his physical condition than his spiritual. So even praying over him physically, the Lord convicted me that I should be more broken over his spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord really broke me in the midst of praying for this guy. And so anyway, those neat things like that that happened along the way that the Lord taught me. And it's easy to want to meet even here. You think about the social missions that we do to help people fix their house or whatever, and those things are great. But and we can get upset and broken over, you know, situation that someone finds themselves in, their house burned down or whatever, and then miss the whole opportunity for the gospel. And so in the same way, in that sense, like it was amazing, you know, just seeing that and just realizing that I could get distracted from that too. And it's easy to do. Not that that wasn't a real need that needed to be met, but at the same time, being more broken over that than a spiritual condition. And so, unfortunately, at the end of that week, in the middle of the week, I found out that the guy I've been traveling with all week was getting really sick. And so by the end of that week, when I was getting ready to head to my next destination, I started getting sick. Mm-hmm. And so I traveled from Nepal to Indonesia sick as a dog. It was really bad. And I'm pretty sure it was COVID. And so I got to Indonesia and I was just, oof, I needed a good 36 hours just to kind of recoup from all of that. But Lord was good in all of that, just to being able to get there, to be able to rest and be taken care of by the family I was with. And, but that week, we were able to go to a place in Indonesia that they had not gone to. So we support a national guy. We've been supporting him for about 6 years because we figured that, you know, what it cost for two people to fly over for 1 week, we could support this guy's entire family for a year.
Wow.
And so seemed like a no-brainer, because just watching him was unreal in the way that he shared the gospel. He would talk to anybody, and then he would be able to take any conversation, any situation, circumstance, and turn it to a gospel conversation. And we're now sharing with Muslims, right? And with the Islamic faith, and very dogmatic, and sometimes could be very volatile in their response. But just to watch the love of this guy, and here's what the conclusion I've come to. So whether Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, there's an emptiness that's still not fulfilled in their life, and they're chasing after, they're trying to do all the things to appease this God, to get his favor, eternal security, whatever it is they're chasing after, and they don't know, they're not sure. There's no security in any of it.
Right.
And so there's an emptiness in it and all of it. And I find that the younger generation is kind of like, I'm not doing this just because we've always done it. And I don't know. They're bold enough to say, I've lived in this enough to see that there's nothing of value in it.
They've seen the anxiety in their parents and the depression probably that goes along with all of that, right, and just the struggle.
Yeah.
The struggle for joy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that was the main guy going back to Nepal that was over all the believers, the pastors in this particular mission organization. He was a Hindu priest for 10 years. And in it was empty and knew that it did not provide. So he left that to search for truth. And that's when he heard the gospel. And so.
Well, and quickly, you left. And as soon as you left, there was a political, there was an uprising due to the social media bans, and there were some people killed in a riots that were right down the street from your hotel. Like, you had just flown out. I mean, it was like days later I heard.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're on the way back.
So about the time I got back, I got a message from one of the local pastors that said, hey, can you download this other app for communication? Because our government's about to shut down all these other platforms. And I was like, that's weird. What? And then I get on the news, and now there's all these uprisings. And literally 7 minutes from the hotel I was staying in, the parliament building, they set on fire to burn down. And
right.
So, yeah, it's pretty wild what's happening. But,
well, you know, Jeff, speaking of all of that, you know, we're obviously coming back off of our break to some pretty heavy, weighty news.
Yeah.
A lot of tragic things have gone on. And I would say not even just so much in the last week or two, over the course of the last few months, over the course of the last few years, we could keep going back and back and back, sure. Right?
Yeah.
But just a couple of things that I want to point out, you know, there was that tragic shooting of a husband and wife, the Hoffmans, in their driveway in Minnesota. That was early in June of this year. We had that tragic stabbing of Irina Zarutska, you know, the Ukrainian refugee.
Yeah.
You know, how awful was that?
Yeah.
We had, multiple school shootings. Obviously, the assassination of Charlie Kirk has happened.
Yeah.
So a lot of heavy, heavy things that are going on.
Yeah.
And I know at times I feel like, man, this, how could it get any worse? You know, and you know that throughout history, there's always been, every generation has had their, how could it get worse? Or this you know, I just remember my mom talking about just when she was really young, and even my grandparents when they were young, obviously coming up in World War II and Hitler and all that. I mean, how awful, you know, the genocide of, you know, the Holocaust and all that. I mean, how awful, but just pretty weighty coming in, you know, and just seeing what we see on the news and what we hear and what we read day in and day out, just the heaviness of that, you know.
Yeah.
I will say this before we get into kind of what we want to talk about, but you were just mentioning the different deities,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I read some or saw something this last week. And it's, somebody was saying, hey, you can go and mention Buddha. You can go and mention, you know, Islam and Muhammad. Yeah. And nobody gets upset.
Right.
If you mention Jesus, there's a lot of anger in those who don't follow Jesus. And what I would say about that is, to me, that emphasizes even more so the realization that it's not the people, but it's truly a spiritual battle. And why would spirits not be upset about a Buddha or a Muhammad? You know, that just makes me almost, it's like, it validates it even more so that, but Jesus, you say that name,
right,
you get a lot of reaction.
Sure.
And it's like, there's something to that.
Yeah. You know, and you think about the words of Jesus when he says, hey, if they persecute you, don't be surprised.
Persecuted
me
first.
You know?
Yeah.
So
he uses the word hated, or, you know, the hated.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we look at things like the Charlie Kirk situation, like in so many ways, a young man to be admired for his boldness, his courage, his faith, all the things that he did, he, you know, issues that he addressed, all of those things, to be such a young man, but to be, have such wisdom in so many areas too. to address the issues, to be willing to be hated, to be able to speak truth. There's a lot to admire about that. One of the things too that, you know, we talked about even tonight was that it's easy to get in a debate with someone, win the debate, but lose the person in the process. And so I think in our courage, in our boldness to share the truth, our hearts have to be full of love and compassion for the person that we're sharing with, and not just the dogmatic message that we're communicating. And so that is communicated as well when we share truth. And so if it's not communicated, then it just comes across as an opinion versus a belief system based off of truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, and it goes back to, you know, the reason we do things matters just as much, if not more, I would say, than what we do. You know, so what I mean by that is, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to worship, or I'm going to, you know, thank the Lord, I'm going to pray the Lord. Well, if I just do that because I have it on my checklist to do, does it really even mean anything if my heart is not, if I'm not truly worshiping the Lord for who he is?
Sure.
Right? So with that in mind, it's in the same sense of, like you just said, what if I win the argument?
Yeah.
But the person loses their soul?
Yeah.
What have I won?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I've achieved nothing.
Right.
Right. And that's really what's been convicting me the most lately, is really the desire to win souls.
Yeah.
To boldly and lovingly point people to Jesus.
Right.
And in this, in all of these situations that we've talked about too, even with the young girl who was stabbed tragically on this train. I mean, she was doing nothing.
Right. Right.
You know, she was, and then I think to me, what is even or is equally as heartless as that act is, we as society have gotten in this, there seems to be a an attitude of, it's not my business, so I'm going to stay out of it. Right. So much so that there were four or five people sitting on this train who witnessed what happened, and no one helped her.
Yeah.
They turn the other way. They don't look. And is that out of fear of getting involved? Is it, you know,
sure.
Is it a desensitization of just things happen? Or,
well, that's the thing we were talking about beforehand, is like, if I get up tomorrow morning and turn on the news to find that there's been another school shooting, I've heard this so many times. At this point, I'm not surprised by it. I'm saddened by it. I'm frustrated about it, but I'm not surprised anymore. And I think that's the sad reality of the results of social media as well. Just kind of hearing and seeing everything that's happening all over, just countless.
You have instant access,
yeah,
to real-time information.
Yeah. And I think we've got to be really careful, you know, and I'm talking to myself in this, because of the desensitization, it's easy for your heart to grow cold towards it and to move on from it, to not do anything about it, not to have conversations about it. Let's just, you know. And so I think we got to be really careful. And so I really wanted to take this conversation that's heavy and see, you know, because we talk a lot about God is sovereign. None of this caught him by surprise. How can the Lord be glorified in allowing a tragedy to happen, right? That's hard to wrap our minds around.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God allow this to happen? If Charlie Kirk was a man of faith and preaching the truth, why would God allow this assassin to be successful? And I think you hit it the nail on the head tonight in group when you said, but we don't see what's on the other side of this yet. We don't see how God's going to take it yet. It's hard in the midst of it to understand. But if we truly believe that God is in complete control, even of what seems chaotic and madness, he's got a plan to use his children for his glory. And so, you know, the best example I can give of this, Tommy, was I remember being a young teenage boy and my mom screaming from the kitchen. And so I ran to see what was going on. And she was like up on a bar stool and there was this huge spider on the floor. And she was just freaking out about the spider. And all of a sudden she hopped down, grabbed her flip-flop that she had on and just smashed the spider. And her mind was kill it, be done with it. Well, what she didn't know was that the spider was full of hundreds of baby spiders. So as soon as she hit it, hundreds of baby spiders covered the floor, right? And so I use that as an example of so many times when you take Stephen in the Bible. Hey, let's get rid of this guy. Well, what you did was you just launched missionaries all over. And in the same sense, you take somebody like Charlie Kirk, who's preaching truth and trying to share a message of faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and you kill him in this situation. You're sending out missionaries. Now you're causing this rise up of believers to take a stand, to be more bold and be more courageous. And it's contagious when those things happen. And so I want to encourage believers that are listening. Number one, let the Lord use this to convict you, to be bold in your faith. But listen, this is not an opportunity to bash anybody, to go after a political side, to do any of those things. That's not what this is about. This is about making Christ known, speaking truth and love, and using it as an example. Like, I mean, we were even sharing tonight about a guy whose son was killed tragically in just a fishing trip, spearfishing, and got caught up in the current and drowned. But the faith of his parents and their willingness to continue to trust God, to love God, to know that he's got a plan in all of it, and to use even tragedy for God's glory is amazing, right? That's hard to wrap our minds around, but that's where our faith comes into action. And so anyway, all of that to say, this should rise up in us a desire to be bold for God and to share his love.
I may even say unleash.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit sad, though, that it takes something like that, you know, takes events like this.
Yeah.
Right?
To shake us up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what the reflection of this for me has been, is why, you know, does it require this for me to, for my zealous for God to ignite more so than it has before?
Sure.
Is it goes back to that spider story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if, am I too comfortable on the back of someone else who's doing the work?
Yeah.
Hey, they're doing a great job. I can't say it like that.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to.
I'll share their post. I'll like it.
Yeah.
That's me participating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm a little, I'm disappointed in myself for that. And I think if, you know, for me, that's possibly part of maybe God's plan in all this. And, you know, what evil meant for good.
100%. That's how tragic things can be used for God's glory. It grabs our heart It grabs our thoughts, our convictions, and the Lord uses that to really wake us up, you know, because it is. It's easy to sit back, let the pastor do it. It's easy to sit back, let somebody like Charlie do it. They're already doing a great job. I'll just ride this out and be their fan. But God called us all to the mission, not to sit back and cheer others on, but to all be involved. And so what are you doing with the mission that God's called you to? It's the question that we should be asking ourselves. We're not all going to be on college campuses having debates. And that doesn't mean that how God chooses to use us is invaluable. You know, He has a plan for each of us to reach the people in our lives. What are we doing with it, right?
So this just came to me. I just want to also preface this with anyone who's listening that you and I had no rehearsal for this.
Right.
Truly kind of unscripted. I mean, we definitely talk about what, you know, some of the things that we want to talk about and mention. I'm not going to pretend like we don't. But in this case, no outline, no pre-planned bullet points. And this just actually came to me while we were talking. Because you and I briefly discussed, going back to the, I don't want to say her name wrong, Irina. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the man who stabbed her had been incarcerated numerous times, right? Lengthy history. And I would say that that is common for many violent crime offenders, that they'll, you know,
it's not their first.
Generally, it's not their first time, right?
Right.
And we talked about that, and from a political standpoint, as well, you know, we need to vote in people who do something about that and make, you know, punishment worse and things. But just as we're sitting here speaking, what if we were all getting up every single morning looking for an opportunity to share our faith, share our story, and how Jesus impacted our life when He collided with us and the difference it has shown in our life? What if we did that? Would we need to worry about politicians?
Right.
Who don't discipline or punish as much.
Right.
Could we have impacted?
Or different belief systems and all the different things. What if Jesus was the answer? Period. Right? What if we got to the root issue and handled that in a way that caused generational change?
Right.
You know? So we can, let's say tomorrow we were able to vote in all the politicians that we wanted that had the same belief system, it's not going to fix the problem.
That's right. It's not going to fix the problem.
Do we need to do that? Yes, of course. We want people that believe and are like-minded, but it's not going to change people's hearts. Jesus is the answer, and that's
right.
That's what we got to get to.
And we're called to share that message.
Correct.
And how do you do it? You start by just sharing your own story.
Yeah.
You start by asking them to share their story.
Right.
And just insert questions. Look, right. you don't have to be a scholar. I think a lot of times my problem was, well, I didn't know the answers like Charlie Kirk knew the answers.
Right.
He had his own personal opinions on things.
Sure.
I may have differed from some of those.
And I'm sure Charlie, looking back at several of his debates, would have gone back and handled things differently in some of them, you know.
Maybe,
so
yeah.
He learned a lot through the process. He wasn't perfect by any means. But yeah.
I think that was an excuse that I used in my own mind to say, man, I'm just not going to be effective like that. But here's the thing, man, this is hitting me pretty hard right now. We got to quit asking who's going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit making about anything else but what it is.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us what it is. It's not a war against flesh and blood.
Right.
There is evil in this world, and in fact, it says there's evil in the heavenly places. And so at church, you can have someone come in and commit evil act,
yeah.
influenced by evil that's in their life and that they've allowed in. So we can ask the question, well, or we can make the statements, or we can blame the politicians. But why do we put our faith in politicians anyway? They're just broken,
right.
imperfect human beings,
right.
just like we are.
Right.
It's almost no different than putting the faith in the little Buddha man on the car, right. the taxi. You told me you first yeah. got picked up at the airport. You rode yeah. a taxi, and the guy had a little Buddha or yeah. something, the little
Hindu guy
yeah. up there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They put their faith into that. Okay, well, really, that's man-made. That's that mm-hmm. we say that that's nothing.
Right.
Really no different. Put our faith in another human being.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a heartbeat.
Right.
But they are evil. I mean, are rooted in sin, right. sinful.
Right.
So we've got to start looking. I've got to start looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Say, hey, if I want to do something about it, let me get on my knees.
Yeah.
Let me ask the Lord for his yeah. wisdom and guidance.
Yeah.
And I need to first love him with all of my heart.
Right.
All of my soul. And all of my mind, I got to quit playing. I got to quit doing it when it's convenient.
Right.
Only. And if I truly am chasing him and desiring him, and I truly want his thoughts, his ways to be my thoughts and my ways, he will equip me with what I need.
Yeah. Well, it's not you that does anything anyway. You know,
it's
you
not.
Think about, so many. It's are you willing to be obedient to go where God calls you to go and to have conversations that you need to have? Regardless of the response, are you willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to go and to share truth, to go to a place where a government leader might stand in and shut it down? And are you willing to do, like Jonah, we talked about today in church, go to a people that you kind of don't even like and share God's love with them? Are you willing to do that,
Are you willing to let go of your past and what you were before?
Yeah, that's good. Excuses.
And what people have known about you in the past?
Right.
Are you willing to let go of that and do what you're called to do and be obedient?
Talking about that and tragedy, God takes the mess of our lives when we give it to him, just like I talked about in that very beginning about how God can take the broken pieces and wasted years of our lives, and he can use what's, make it beautiful, because when we are willing to be vulnerable enough to share our story, someone is listening to that story and says, that's me. I was exactly the same. I had no idea about you. I can't believe you are the person you are today. That gives me hope that God can change me too. No more excuses. I'm following after. So if we can let go of the fear of judgment or whatever the things are that we're believing about, I can't tell people about my past. No, this is who I was. It's messy. It's ugly. I hate it more than anybody. But this is what God did with it. He rescued me. He saved me. He redeemed me. Now I have a mission to share that same love with everybody I come into contact with. And so I have a limited time left on this earth. What am I going to do with it?
What am I going to do with it? Who am I going to take with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a quote on my Facebook page. Just at the top, you can put little quotes or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And mine says, it is my desire that when I die, all of hell will rejoice. Mm. But right now, if I died, I don't know that they would.
Mm.
I didn't make, so I'm just saying, and I want people listening to hear this as well, if we're wondering what we can do, if we're wondering what we should do, if we feel even down on ourselves or depressed, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
And it's time right now to put our faith in action, repent. There's a new day, and the Lord desires us to love Him. And we do that, we're going to find joy when the world thinks there shouldn't be joy. Mm-hmm. We're going to be able to carry out the mission that God has for our life and live the life that He desires for us to have, which is far better than any life that we could even imagine on our own.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about earthly riches. Heck, I might not even be talking about health.
Yeah.
You know, people, we still will get sick.
Right.
I still may lose my job.
Right.
Still, something, you know, is going to happen. But if my foundation is built on the solid Word of God and what His promise is, it's not about this little brief stint on earth.
Yeah.
It's about eternity.
Right.
And I should care. I mean, how much do I hate a man? I mean, how much do I hate a man, or would I hate somebody to not share with them,
right,
the message of hope and of eternal salvation, and that's been in the relationship with God that I have personally had interactions with?
Yeah.
Why would I not share that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start.
Yeah.
More so than when it's convenient.
Sure.
You know, when I'm sitting in that Uber.
Yeah.
And the little voice comes in my head and says, hey, why don't you ask this guy about him? Just say, hey, man, how you doing? How you been? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Right.
I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Because I had that prompt this last week when I was on a business trip and I didn't say anything.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's going to start with that for me. And I want to be on the side. I want to be a part of the other side of God's view of things. He knows the future. I want to be a part of that future.
Right.
Evil's plan is not God's. He's not going to let that prevail.
Right. Well, I think too, you know, kind of to wrap things up here, when you think about everything that we talked about, at the end of the day, Jesus is the one that changes everything. He changes the heart. He changes the thoughts, changes the actions if we surrender completely to Him. And watching what He can do in a person's life, to take a Hindu priest and make him empty inside through all of that, for him to seek out truth in Jesus, to now be the lead of training pastors in this country, right? Only God does that. And there's a joy. There's an evident, Tommy, like this whole trip, it was evident in a person's face who trusted Jesus and who didn't. Like there's just a joy and a peace and a hope that is inexplicable in this world. And for us to surrender completely to Him, to be obedient to Him, will resolve the issues of how to be a good husband, how to be a good father,
mm-hmm.
right? How to be a good citizen in this country,
mm-hmm.
right? All of those issues are resolved when we surrender completely to Jesus. He's the answer, period. So wherever you're at today, if you're struggling with any of those things, you have the wrong belief in God. And that's where you need to go to, that root of understanding who God is biblically. Because sometimes we have a perception in our head talking about our past, where if we had a father that abused us or hurt us or let us down or was harsh and a rule Nazi, that's our perception of who God is. And it's tainted.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to Scripture and see who He is really. And He's patient, long-suffering, kind. And He wants nothing more than for us to see that truth and surrender to it. Because He has the best just right there in His hand, ready to give us. And we just close his hand up and say, no, thank you. I got it. I can handle this on my own. And we just mess things up. So it truly is just a complete surrender to trust the Lord and watch what he does. So let that start with you. If you're listening and you've been kind of debating on that and trying to figure all that out, man, the Lord is good. No one has ever, and I say this all the time to the guys, no one has ever surrendered their life completely and chased after the Lord and at the end of their life regretted it. But there are so many on the other side of that. And those are the stories that I hear all the time. So surrender your life completely to him and be obedient and watch this nation change. Thanks for tuning in, guys.